Okay, everybody said today's daf is daf Chof Hei. We're holding the second line from the top of the Amud. Zokti Gemara, Sabe de Nezunya. Nezunya, says Rashi, is the name of a place. So the elders of Nezunya, they apparently were visiting in the town of Rav Chisda. They also the Pirkei Rav Chisda, but they didn't come to the shir of Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda was offended. Omalei Rav Elnuna, he said to Rav Elnuna, who was a Talmud of Rav Chisda, Zil Tzan Inu, I want you to go and put them, says Rashi, in Chayrim, for not coming to the shir, but do it in a very thniastika fashion. In other words, do it in a very gentle way. How does one normally, what are the effects of a person being put in the Chayrim? That means that the rest of the community should have nothing to do with an individual. It's almost like the Metzoira, that's Mechutz L'machana, Tomei Tomei Yikra, don't even get close to the person who has been excommunicated. So to say it in a very edel fashion, Rav Chisda didn't say, put him in Chayrim. He said, Zilzaninu, they should rather stay home. Stay home means that they won't mix with the public and nobody will have to distance themselves from them. You see the Rashi on the second line, Zilzaninu, Emor Lehem, Alehem, Elehem, Lihisoger, Leishim Abayis. Stay home. V'zeh Loshen Nidui L'Tamid Chochem. This is a nice way of saying a Chayrim, by the Tamid Chochem, Kiram Amayit Gotten, Leim Eloi Derech Kovoid, Hazger, Eshav V'Beisecha. Say it in Bekobadika fashion, it shouldn't be, hit him over the head. Maybe for the next 30 days, maybe you should stay home.
Is this only binding on them while they're in the home, in the town of Rav Chisda, or is this binding on them in the entire world?
I'm assuming the former. Ozal Omalahu, so Rav Elnuna went to go and inform the elders of Nezunya of this decision of Rav Chisda. So he in fact asked them, my time we also Rabban Lepirka, how come Yitaka didn't come to the shir yesterday? What happened? Omalei, so they told him, Amai Nesi, why should we come? The Be'inan Mine Milza, we asked them previously a Shaila, Loi Pashalan, and he didn't answer the Shaila. And so therefore we figure, maybe he's not a big Talmid Chacham, maybe he's ignoring us, whatever, we decided not to go. Omalehu, so now Rav Elnuna said to the same Sabi de Nezunya, Biba Isa Minoi Midi Vilei B'Shit Melechu, did you ever ask me something that I did not respond to? Now, Lechayra, this is a little bit of a disconnect. Who's talking about Rav Elnuna telling them, asking them? We're referring to the fact that they're being put in Chayrim because they didn't go to Rav Chisda Shir. They're saying that Rav Chisda, we asked him a shayla, he wasn't able to answer it. Says Rav Elnuna, well, did you ask me a shayla? What's the connection here? So the Shita Shalei Noida Lami says, very simply, Rav Elnuna was a Talmud of Rav Chisda. Rav Elnuna said, why don't you ask me the question? You'll see I'll be able to answer the question. And if I can answer the question, then certainly my Rebbe, Rav Chisda, can answer the question. And I'm sure, says Rav Elnuna, that had you asked the question to Rav Chisda, and had he had the opportunity, the time, whatever, to respond, of course he would have responded. What must have happened is that he got an emergency text or email or telephone call or some other thing that he had to rush out and he couldn't go and answer you, but not Chas V'Shalom because he was ignoring you or because he didn't know the answer. I'm sure he knows the answer. You'll ask me, you'll see, I know the answer. He certainly knew the answer. So you should have gone to the shir after all. Anyway, they said, okay, boy, we'll ask you a shayla. As you know, we've been talking about the inyan of an eved leaving if his rabbi has hit him, Rashi Evorim, Shein Ba'ayin. Says he more, what about Evet Shisir Say Rabbi Bebeyim Mahu? What happens if the rabbi, meaning the Odoi, the master, went to his Masaris, he castrated him, Bebeyim, down below by the Bey. Mahu, Kimunshu Gondomi, Oiloi. As you remember, we learned from the first Klal of Prat Klal, and then Riboy Mid for Riboy, that it's got to be Mumim Shebegoli Ve'enen Choizrim. So the question is, when you're dealing with Bayim down below, is that considered to be a Mum Shebegoli? Now what's the Shaila? So Rashi says in the fourth, fifth line, Sheritluyin Bekis, they're part of the sack down below, Fenikarim Bibachutz, and one could tell that there are Bayim testicles within that sack. So in one respect, it's a Mum Shebegoli. But on the other hand, says Rashi, Utmunim Beteich HaKis, you don't see the actual Bayim themselves. They're always covered up by the Kis. So is that considered Mumsha Begoli or not? So a good gefreg. We have Biyode. Rav Amnuna didn't know the answer. Omrulai. So they said to him, Mashemecha, what's your name? Omrulai, my name is Amnuna. Omrulai, so they responded, Lav Hamnuna Ela Karnuna. Your name shouldn't be Hamnuna, it should be Karnuna. What does that mean? Dr. Rashi, sixth line. Karnuna Yoishiv Kronis Ata Veloy Bautaira. We see here also, apparently they're saying, just like Rabbi Kach Talmud, that you're also Nishke Grace of Talmud Chochem, because you don't know the answer. This is something that you should know. And you're not about. Right? Therefore, Karnuna Loshin Yer, a Yoishiv Kronis. The top Toysis, however, has a different pshat, which is a little bit more colorful. He says the word Nuna in Chazal, in Aramaic, is fish. Ham is like the word Cham. You're not a Ham Nuna, a hot fish, but you're a Karnu, you're a cold fish. See, Rashi, the first Toysis on top brings the Rashi with the Yoshiv Kronis. Then he says, Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish, Ata Imer Ham Nuna, Hainu Cham Nuna, hot fish. A cold fish. That was, interestingly enough, so both the Rashi and the Toysis, it sounds a little bit degrading. If you look at the Masoris HaShas, however, Oiz Beis, he brings a similar pshat from the Oruch, but he says that it was meant letoif, it wasn't meant critically. V'zeh Lashon HaOruch, Be'erich Tzana Beis, Kish'omru Loi Karnuna, Chas V'shom Loi Bizu. They didn't intend over here to shame him. Fish normally are they hot? Karamein. Normally, if you go and catch a fish, it's not a hot fish; it's a cold fish. Karnuna roi loy melacha. One should call you karnuna because that's a more proper term. Ubezet tovin heitev mashikosav toisus b'shem Rabbeinu Chananel. Now we understand better what the toisus saying b'shem Rabbeinu Chananel. So, in other words, I don't have a copy of the Oruch. However, apparently the Oruch teached it in the Toif. Like, what does it say by Noach? Yishtosh l'shach, yishtosh l'toif. Exactly. So on the surface, when you look at the Rashi and the Toysis, both of them look a little bit like yishtosh l'gnai. But the Oruch seems to be saying, no, yish, probably saying yishtosh l'shach. What would be l'shach? Because when you catch a fish, it's not hot. And most people, when they eat fish, they don't eat hot fish. They eat cold fish. And so therefore, calling yourself hot fish is not a nice term. When you call you cold fish, which would be more appropriate because that's more delectable, more delicious, more, yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's the end of this part of the story. Now Rav Amnuna returns back to Rav Chisda. Osla come to Rav Chisda, comes to Rav Chisda, and he tells him the story that the Sabe Nezunya asked him this shaila. On Malays, Rav Chisda said, that's a very simple shaila that they asked. Masnisa boy minach. They asked you, what is a befeidish b'raisa? What's a befeidish b'raisa? Tidnan, there's a Mishnah Maseches Nigoyim. We looked at this already yesterday. Esam abo Rashi Evarim Sheba Adam. A person has 24 Rashi Evarim, which kulam, which all of them, ein metam mishum mechya. The word mechya, says Rashi, is lav dafka mechya, really means mishum negatzeras. No negatzeras becomes tamei when the Kohen sees them by these 24 Rashi Evarim. Exactly. So both Brother Shai and Brother Barry, Shneim Ke'echar, are telling us that the reason is because it said in the Pasuk, L'chol Mare Eini HaKohen, and Rashi says, therefore it's got to be Kula Niris Ke'achas. It's the type of Nega where you see the whole Nega all at once. And of these 24, as we'll see, the Eluheim, what are the 24, getting back to the Gemara? Rashi etzbois yudayim v'raglayim. If a person were to have a negatzeras at the very tips of his fingers, or the tips of his toes, to be able to see the chomari eini akoyin, you'd have to go and say, can I see the other side of the finger? Can you pick up your foot so I can see the toes on the other side? Same thing, Rashi etznayim, if you have it in the front of the ear, and part of it is extending to the back of the ear. Or Rosh Hachoytim, if it happens to be on the nose, and you're looking directly at him, you'll say, can you pick up your head a little bit so I can see underneath the nose? For Rosh Hachvi, and the same thing applies to the Gid down below. And for Rosh Hachidanim Shavi'ishim, when you're talking about a woman, the same thing with Gabi the Dadim, because with her, the nipple's a little bit more pronounced. So if you were to go and see a Negatzeras on the bottom, you might not see the top. With the top, you wouldn't see the bottom. So therefore, it's got to be the Chol Mari Eini HaKoyim. So the 24 is the Gabi a male. 20 etzbois, the both the fingers and the toes. Rashi is Naim on the two ears is 22. Rosh HaChoitim is the nose is 23. That's both unigender by men and women. Rosh HaGviya is talking about the man, that's the 24th. Rosh HaDanim Shel Isha would turn out that for the women it's Taka 25 and not 24. So you add two instead of one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Av Shel Ish, Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing applies to a man as well. The machlokes between them is how prominent that part of the dadim is, that by a woman it's more prominent, so therefore you might only see one side of it, not the other. Rabbi Yehuda holds is basically punched in by a man, and so therefore you can easily see both sides. So it's l'chomar in hekoyim. That's the Mishnah. I'm sorry? Av Shel Ish, not talking about the nose, talking about the Rashi Dadim Shel Ish. Just like we said, by Ish, the same thing applies to me.
It's going to be 25 for both.
For both.
Yeah, right. In fact, for a man, it would be 26. Because it would be 26. No, you wouldn't. I'm sorry. Just 25. My apologies. Rosh HaGviya, because with Rosh HaGviya, you have 1 second, slightly. We have 20 plus 2 is 22. Rosh HaChaita is 23. Rosh HaGviya is 24. According to Yehuda, by an issue, be 26. 24 plus 2. Good. Fine. That, of course, is convenient. Yud Ke Vav Ke, and a person born with seven melekims, everything stems very nicely. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi Dadim Shabi Isha, Rashi says, Abba Shabi Ish, Einen Bolton Kolkat, they're not so prominent. The Ein Ze Shibua. Mashain can review it and said, no, Ish as well. Also depends on how heavy that individual is. Sometimes you find men that are obese, and then they have also Dadim the Isha. Okay, anyway.
That's it.
So far, only talking about Nigoyim. Yes, what would you like to ask?
We're talking about the breast, or we're talking about the...
Since it says Rosh Hashibadadim HaMasun, referring to the nipple, which is the prominent part, that's what it means, the Rosh. Therefore, if you look straight ahead, you might be able to see it, but if you're looking from underneath, you're looking from the top, you don't see it all. Okay. But Tani Allah. Now, until now was the Mishnah, and really is unrelated to us. However, the price it says, V'kulam, all of these that we just, the aforementioned, Eved Yoytzeb Em L'Cheiris. Oh, so that's what we're getting into now in our sugya. In the Brice it says that the Eved, just like the halachas applied to the Goyim, the same thing applies to Eved, also Yoytzeb Em L'Cheiris. And you remember we saw the Ran yesterday, Lav Dafka, these 24, many others as well, because there's no such din that it has to be L'Chomari Enei HaKoyim. It has to be Mumshe B'Goloi, Kamash Malan, all of these are Mumshe B'Goloi. And any other mumshe begoli, if the person, if part of his beard bone, the bone of the chin, or the bone of the jaw, if that were to fall down, it's also mumshe begoli. So that would also be yoyts lecheres like we had yesterday. Okay, anyway. Rabbi Oimer, now we get down to business. Afasirus, if an odoin were to castrate in Saris his eved, that would also be eved yoyts behem lecheres. Now why does the Tanakhama mention that? Says Rashi is a chassim in the Tanakhama disagrees with Rebbe, and therefore what Rav Chizda is saying after Rav Nuna, the question that was posed by the Sabi Nizunya, you should have told them it's a machloikis tanoim in this price, where the Tanakhama hold that Sirus would not be included, and Rebbe hold that Sirus would be included. What would be the basis of the machloikis? Like we said in the Rashi on the fourth line at the top, are these mumin shebet goloi or not? Because you don't see the actual dayim from the outside. You see them, in a sense, protruding, but you don't see them mamish in front of you. They're tomin betoichakis. That's the shaydu with mumin shebet goloi. So, with that, basically we've concluded the discussion with the Sabi Nizunya, but we're going to get back to this brice of Rebbe, and in particular we're going to have now Ben Azai. And I say, Oimer af haloshe. The same thing applies to a tongue. What is that? That if the odoin were to go and damage the tongue, and that is also considered to be a mumshe begolui, even though most of the time you don't see a person's tongue. But since every time he speaks or he eats, you can see the tongue, that's why it's also mumshe begolui according to Ben Azai, and that would be also a rush aver that, dafka reish, an aver that the eved would be yoitze by. We start again. Omamah, this lashnik. Rabbi Oimer Afa Sirus. Sirus to mine. Now we say Sirus, castration. What are we referring to? Elaim is Sirus to Gid. Are we talking about. Okay, so I should point out that this Omamah is really a continuation of Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda is still talking to Rav Amnuna and saying that was the Mishnah in the Goyim. That was the Braisa that was appended to the Mishnah Batani Allah to say the same Allah applies to Avadim, but now the word Sirus is at the moment a little bit mysterious. Why is it mysterious? Because I don't know what Sirus means. It could be Sirus the Gid, means that the Avad unfortunately cut off part of the Gid, and now the Avad is no longer able to procreate.
Karo Shifcha, sir.
I'm sorry?
Karo Shifcha.
Karo Shifcha. Good. So, Karo Shifcha is only on Gid, is also on Bay. So we're going to talk about that momentarily. So Abba Sirus...
Did they put him in Theram or not?
The Gemara doesn't tell us that. It remains a mystery forever and ever. We have to wait till the Yoh Navi comes. But anyway, so the Gemara says, Rebbe Oyma Hafa Sirus, Sirus Dama, Ilayna Sirus, the Gid. Do we mean that he cut off part of the Gid? Mahayna Gvir. That cannot be, because go back to the original 24, that was the 24th, right? Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh HaGvir. So on the Rosh HaGvir, if the Odin were Chas V'Shalom to go and cut off part of that Gvir, the Dushtei Tachshoyin, that's already part of the Rosh HaGvir. So in Bazoi, what is Rebbe being Mosif by saying Afasirus? We already mentioned that. And Allah must be told Afasirus to pay him. Ah, the Rebbe Oimer Afasirus. And therefore, this is now the conclusion, says Rashi, what Rav Kiz is telling him, that we're talking about Bayim, says Rebbe that this is Sirus, and that the Eved Yoitzibay Lecheiris, the Rabbanan don't feel that way, and therefore the answer to the Sabi Nezunya is, it's a Machloikis Tanakama and Rebbe. Now, Frank the Gemara, now we're basically done with that first part, and now the Gemara is asking, what about Loshan? Then Azay says, Afa Loshan, Loshan is also included. Rebbe Loshan Loi, doesn't Rebbe also agree that Loshan is considered to be Begolui? Or a Minu, I'll ask you from left field, Legabe, the person who is ministering the Hazoas Mei Chatas. Somebody became Tomei Tumas Mes, and now administering on Yom HaShlishi Meshvi, we're spritzing on him the Chatas water. Now the halacha is you only need a drop of Chatas water to touch any part of the guf of the person that became Tomei. What happens if Uraminu Harimisha Hoya Mazis, someone was spritzing, the Nitzah Hazor Al Pith, and the drop didn't fall on his nose or on his toes, it fell on his mouth. We're going to explore in a moment what does it mean, mouth. But that's what happened, it fell on his mouth. Rabbi Oyma Hiza, this is good. The person is Tahar, he comes back on Shvi for a second spritz, and we're done. Chum Oyma Loy Hiza, it's not kosher, not valid. You have to spritz again. So my love, when we say apiv, aren't we referring to al-lishayne? Probably it's talking about the lashon on the tongue. Why is Rebbe saying that it was a good hazor? Because as we'll see in the Gemara in another few lines, when it comes to hazor, it's got to be on part of the body, shebet goli, that you could see it. So the fact that Rebbe allows for the hazor to fall on the tongue and saying that that's a kosher hazor, so apparently holds that's begoli. So if it's begoli for purposes of hazah, shouldn't it also be begoli for purposes of the dinim of a mumshe begoli that an eved goes lechairus? So isn't this a stira Rebbe on Rebbe? Everything more light. The whole basis of your question was because you assumed that piv means loshen. No. It means al swasav. It means on his lips. Faitim al swasav. Pshita, if it fell on his lips, shouldn't everybody hold that that's a good hazah? After all, you don't see the person's tongue until he opens his mouth, but you see his lips just by looking at him. So that's certainly mumsha begoli, and therefore it should be hazosha begoli. But tomorrow, no. I would have thought zimna de cholim svase. The word cholim means that sometimes he closes his lips tightly. When you close your lips tightly, then part of the lips become concealed, and you don't see them. And so therefore I might have thought that you have to have the munch begoli requires something that is at all times golui. So I might have thought, kamash v'lam, no. Even though sometimes when you clench your teeth or you close your mouth, clamp your lips together tightly, you might not see that part of the lip. Nevertheless, it's still considered to be golui. Frank Timor Batan, you have another brisa. Al lishoinai, that when it comes to hazo'o, it works even on the loshay. And v'oitanya v'shenitl roiv haloshen. Now this v'shenitl roiv haloshen is not talking about hazav; it's talking about mumim of a bechor of an animal which is kosher. What happens if you have a bechor where most of its tongue is missing. Shenitl roiv halosha. Rabbi Oimer, roiv hamedaber shebelashoinai. Most of the tongue that allows for the dibur to come out. In other words, when people speak, you don't normally think about this, but your tongue has a major action or major role to play in speech. Not for naught do we say, don't say loshen hara, because the tongue participates in expressing the person's words. So Rashi quickly points out, even though we're talking about an animal, and animals typically do not speak, except of course for the chamor of Bilam, and the Havla of the Abdullah, Mr. Ed, but typically animals don't speak. Here, however, we're not talking about the animal speaking, we're just making a dimyoin that by the person, if you were to remove that part of the tongue, so that would cause the person to be tongue-tied, and he wouldn't be able to go and speak. So that part of the tongue as well, by an animal, if that's removed, if that's cut off, it's considered to be a mum by a bechor. Huh. But let me ask you, doesn't it have to be a mum shebegoloi? It is the charaya that a loshen is goloi. If a loshen is goloi, why isn't it goloi also for purposes of the
Eirush.
Of the Eved Yoytz Ben Lecheres? So why wouldn't Rebbe agree with Ben Azai af a loshen? So to my Ella Rebbe Oimer Sirus Veloimi by a loshen. Rebbe, when he says af hasirus, he's referring to not only the earlier 24, but he's referring to the loshen as well. Now, obviously, the Lashon HaBraisa, the Lashon of the Braisa, is not exactly that way. Because based on what we're saying, it should be the other way around. It should be Ben Azei Oimer Afa Lashon. And then Rabbi says, not only the 24, and not only the Siris, but also the Lashon. In other words, well, the other way around. I'm sorry, don't get upset. Ben Azei would come before Rabbi. Ben Azei would say, besides the 24, also Lashon, and then Rebbe would say, not only Lashon, but even Siris. And that's what Imar is saying. El Rebbe, I'm a Siris, Leibu Boya Lashon. What's the svara of Siris and Leibu Boya Lashon? Because Lashon is far more goloi than Siris is. Both of them are a little bit cloudy in the sense that you don't see them. The Lashon, you only see when the person opens his mouth. By the Siris, you never see the actual Bayim themselves, you just see them as part of the shadow, or they may protrude a little bit from the sack down below. But they're always the Tumen, says Rashi. So therefore, says Rebbe, when I said Siris, and the Chavad and Avada, the Lashon, where very often, if the person is talking or eating, in fact, it is Goloi. You go to the doctor, you'll open your mouth, he wants to check your tongue. It's certainly been Goloi. But you never see the actual vein themselves unless you do a surgery and you open it up. So that's why Kolshkein, blame by Lashon. Well, Ben Azei Oimer, Lashon Avosiris Loi. Ben Azei says, no, just the Lashon. Because Lashon, in fact, sometimes is Megula, sometimes not, but at least some of the time you can see it. But you can never see the vein. And so therefore the vein would not be considered. If that's the case, why does Ben Azei say Afa Lashon? After all, he is following after Rebbe. Rebbe said Afa Sirus. Ben Azei said Afa Lashon. It sounds like Ben Azei saying not only Sirus, but also Lashon. Yeah, but we just said now that according to Ben Azei, it's Lashon Afa Sirus like. My Af goes Akamais. Akamais means on the first 24. So therefore, when we read the Braisa, when the Braisa begins, Betani Allah Bikulan Ebed Yosef Lecheris, all the Choftal Rashay Barmigo Lecheris. Rebbe Oimer Afasiris and Koshkin the Lashon. Lashon is nothing to talk about, Avada, because it's also big goli. But even Sirus, which is most of the time Tamun, all the time Tamun. Therefore, that also is considered Yosef Lecheris. Well, Ben Azei says, Afalashon, I agree with you, Afalashon, on the first 24, but I disagree with you, Legabe the Sirus. That would be easier, says the Gemara, to go and reverse the two man the Amrim. Let Ben Azei go straight on the Tanakama. Tanakama says the Kulon, the 24. Ben Azei says, Afaloshin, but not the Sirus. The Sirus is not a Mumsha Begolui. And then Rebbe would say, not only the 24, and not only the Loshin, but even the Sirus. That's the Choyer, the way the Brisa should have been worded. And the Gemara is going to ask that right now. Look, the Gemara, okay, we have to find it. Okay. Great Gemara, Ihachi, thank you. Ihachi, Nekadma de Ben Azei Bereisha, let it say Ben Azei first and Rebbe second. So, Gemara, you're right. Textually, logically, what you're saying makes sense. However, Tana Shoma lid the Rebbe, Vekova, Shama Levin Azai Vitani, meaning that the Tana that codified this price, let's say Rabchia, Raboishia, whoever put together this price, he initially heard the Tana Kama say Bikun Evan Aizim Lechayis. And he heard that in fact Rebbe adds to it Sirus. And he knows in his mind if Rebbe said Sirus, come on, must certainly be the case of Lashon, because Lashon is much more Megula than the Sirus is. And then after that, a day later, a week later, a year later, he heard that Ben Azay also commented and said Afa Lashon, but he meant Lashon and not the Sirus. So now he could have reordered Ben Azay and Rebbe. However, since initially he heard Rebbe, and everybody chazited Rebbe, 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 Rebbe with Rebbe. After that he heard Ben Azay, and now he appended Ben Azay to Rebbe. Now remember, they didn't have printed Gemaras like we have today. They didn't have printed Brises. Everything was based on Baal Peh. Mishlei Zazim Koyim didn't want them to get all confused, and he figured, let's leave the Brises the way it was originally, and I'll add to it Ben Azay at the end. Hopefully the Oilam will remember that although it says Rebbe first, Afa Sirus, he means Sirus and Lashon. And when Ben Azay says Afa Lashon, he means Lashon, but not Sirus.
Ben Azay was much earlier than Rebbe. I mean, Ben Azay was a contemporary of Akiva,
and so
he should have been earlier, just in terms of Kavod. Rebbe Yehuda was earlier than Rebbe. So in terms of I know the Tanakama is, but in terms of seniority, the name Tanoim are Ben Azay, mm-hmm. then Rebbe Yehuda, then Rebbe.
Exactly.
So you see, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe do follow chronologically. Ben Azay is kind of like attached on there as you know.
We never follow things chronologically.
Sometimes we do. I'm usually sensitive. I try to look to see like who follows who.
Yeah, but again, this was sort of, it wasn't known so well. It was, okay. And later on, they heard it, and that alone should alert you
that something's, to me, something's out of place here, because...
Well, that's right. That's what they questioned.
Right.
That's why they more addressed it.
Right.
So if you look in the wide lines of Rashi down below, the end of the fourth line, Rashi says, "L'shemi'acha shenikba shel Rebbe etzel Tanakama voice shigura b'fi ha'talmidim kach." Everybody knew it by heart. Tanakama, Rebbe, Tanakama, Rebbe. Therefore, le'zozer shel Rebbe m'koymoi. They didn't want to go and uproot Rebbe from its mokum because everybody was the recording in the heads of the talmidim. Since shel Ben Azay acharei l'fi shaygirsa shigura b'fi kosher l'shanoisa. Once you have something in your mind,
memorized,
you're going to go and start changing it. Then the whole thing's going to fall apart. Much better, just leave it the way it is. I'm sorry, I'm learning from the Rashi.
Fourth
the fourth line. Wide line, at the end of the line, see, Elishamiacha, Shnikba, do you have that last four words?
Yeah.
Shmach, Shnikba, Shal, Rebbe, Itzatanaka. Boishishkura, Befiat, Talmidim. Kach. So, Leizor, the Shal, Rebbe, Mekoyim, they didn't want to take it away from Rebbe. Since Shemanaziachre, the Fisha, Girsa, Shikura, Befat. Once you have something, Shogur, Befat, you remember it exactly that way. You start telling him, we changed the song. For now, on different lyrics. Do this and that. You know, it's hard enough to remember it the first time. You're now going to switch it. You're going to get totally confused. Okay. Zokti Morvaita. Umishloi Zazum Kai. Omer Ula. We're up to Omer Ula. Yeah, everybody have that. Hakol Moidim. Okay, so now what Ula is going to tell us is that we find the inyan of the Loshoin Megula, where the Loshoin is considered to be Megoli or not, in three contexts. What happens, for instance, if a person by accident had a dead sheretz in his mouth and it touches his loshen? Didn't touch any other part of the body, just touched the loshen. What happens now? We have Rashi says a famous rule of tumas beis hastorim is not metame. Tumas beis hastorim means, or maga beis hastorim, something which is within the guf of the individual. Umar brings this up sometimes. For instance, if a person were to
swallow a key.
Key, that's what you said? Good. And the key was tame. And now it touches the evarim. Now we're talking about he didn't go and chew it in his mouth, because then you already have a negia earlier on. So someone
fed him,
put it through his
halitani, like
Asa. Poured it in, goes down now. Now the question is, if that key was tamei, it doesn't have to be a key, it could be a coin, it could be anything that was tamei, and it goes down, is it metamei inside the person's body? And the answer is no. Why not? Because it's called tumas beis hastorim, ain't it metamei. Fine. Now, if the tumah that we're talking about just touched the tongue, is that considered to be beis hastorim? Because normally you don't see the person's tongue, it's inside the mouth. Zokti Gemara Hakol Moedim Begabi Tuma Goli Eitzel Shetz. That's the din of Goli. My time, what's the reason why? Because when we're talking about things like a sheretz, a sheyiga boy amrachmana, vaynami bar negiyahu. It's possible for a sheretz to go and touch the tongue, and it touched the tongue, and therefore, since it's bar negiyah, it is susceptible to tum. But everybody agrees, faketlin yitvila kitomun dami. When a man or a woman have to go to the mikveh, then you don't have to make sure that the tongue touches the mikveh waters, because for that purpose it's like a tumen, just like when a person toivels, he doesn't have to make sure that his lungs or that his heart toivels, because it's tumen, it's within the body. Same thing is, the tongue is within the body, and therefore you don't have to keep your mouth open when you are toivling. My timer says, the post baruch psor b'mayim amrachmana, ma psor in mi'avroi, just like the outer flesh and skin, that's on the outside, it's external. I've called me every anything that happens to be external. Mashenki in the tongue, which is internal. Spritzing the mei hazof, the mei chatas. Rabbi medami lo l'tuma. Rabbi says, just like tuma. Just like betuma, it's called goloi. Then the hazor falling on the lashon, on the tongue, is also the goloi. Rabbanu medami lo l'tvila. And they said, no, just like by tvila, that's tomun. If mei chatas go on the tongue, it's as if it went tumen within the body, and when it comes to azor, it's got to be begoli on the outside of the body. Where do we take this from? Both Rebbe and the Rabbanan are arguing the Gabi the following pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? He's a Torah al-tomei, the person who's administering the spritzing of the mechatos, he's the Torah, he's spritzing al-tomei, and Rebbe Savar, now Rebbe is going to expand on the pasuk. He's a Torah l'tomei. V'yoyim ashlishi uv'yoyim ashvi v'chitoy v'yoyim ashvi. The word v'chitoy means, and now he becomes tohar. We have removed the tumah from him. V'chitoy v'yoyim ashvi. Aha. Okay. So what does Rebbe hold? Rebbe says, take out the words v'yoyim ashlishi v'yoyim ashvi. Those are just calendar terms. Now we're talking about tumah v'tahara. So he's saying that the tumah is the final word until you get the word v'chitoy. V'chitoy means we're being metayer him. So the Tahara is next to the Tumah, and therefore I learn one from the other. Just like by the Tumah, I said that the Loshoin is considered Begoloi, because it says Ashigigaboy. Therefore, the Gabi Tahara, it's also considered to be Begoloi. And therefore, if the Mazesh spritzes Meichatas on the tongue, it's also Begoloi, and presto, the person is Tahoy.
I lost that thread there. How does Rebbe learn that the tongue is Begoloi from the placement of the chito after hatame?
There's a hekeshir from the word hatame to the word chitoy.
Right.
But to be yomishlish, be yomishlish.
I know, we just remove that.
We had earlier, sure, you got both.
Good. The tame, that the lashon is considered to be susceptible to tuma, we said earlier on. That's how Ula began. Haklamoinim the lashon, then you tuma, the goli. Everybody agrees that's considered to be goli. So now the question is the gabe hazah. Is it also considered to be the goli? Says Imara, says Rabbi, just like the Gabi Tumah, we established that it's considered to be Golui, the Gabi Vechitoy, to be retired.
Whereas Tumah is also in the Parsha of Azab.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Very good.
Tahor for
Rabbi. Exactly.
Okay.
Rabban, however, disagree, and Rabban say no. If the Hazor water falls on the tongue, doesn't do the trick. Why not? Because Rabban and Sabri, don't look Mel'el, look Mel'ra. Vechitoy b'yoy mashvi, vechibez v'godav, v'rochatz v'mayim. Oh, now the rochatz b'mayim doesn't mean that you go and take a shower or a bath. Rochatz b'mayim means you go to the mikveh. And therefore he is now taking the word v'chitoy, that's the hazor of the mechatos, and says, don't compare that and be makishit to the word tameh earlier, then be makishit to the rochatz b'mayim of later. Rochatz b'mayim is referring to tvila. And there we say by tvila, kuli alma moida, that that's considered to be tamun. And so therefore the hazor, the mechatos, would have the same character, the same quality, as a tvila would be tamun, meaning that just like by tvila, you don't toivel your tongue because that's tamun. But mehazor, if you spritz mehazor water on the tongue, that's also tamun and would not be an effective administration or spritzing of the mechatas. Why doesn't he go and learn like Rebbe and say tamay and chitoy come together? He says tarmi tarav le melech. I prefer learning it from the Rachatz Bamayim, because Rachatz Bamayim is Tvila, which caused the person to be Tahar, and the Mechatas is causing the person to be Tahar. So learn Tara from Tara, rather learn Tara from Tuma. Frankly, more of a Rebbe Nadami Tvila, the Chari has a good point. More Bechim is Begodim, Hifsiko Inyan. If it would go straight from the word Vechitar, Biyar Mashvi, Verachatz Bamayim, I would agree with you. Since it has the Kibbutz Begodim in between, that splits the Hekish, and therefore you don't have one next to each other, the smichos, to be able to mimakish one to the other. Therefore, I much prefer the inyan of v'chitay. V'savar Rebbe linya tefila ketamun dami. Is that really true that the lashon is considered to be tamun because it's inside the mouth? It's tamun, and therefore the waters of the mikveh do not have to touch the lashon. Hey, v'amaravin, amarav ad, amarav yitzchak. Ma'ayz v'shivcha shel beis Rebbe she'tovla. She went to toivu. Ba'olza, and she came out of the mikvah. V'nimtz'etz ben shinah, and then they found that she had a bone in between the teeth. In other words, she didn't do a good job of brushing her teeth and removing any of them, flossing it, exactly. So, b'tzvichu rabbi tzvilachez, you gotta go and toivel again. What do you mean? Teeth are like the lashon inside the mouth. Right. They're all tamun. You don't have to go and toivel with your mouth open. So what was the problem having that chatzitza between the teeth, between having that bone there? Everyone needs to be a smayim leibinan. It's true, Yitaka don't have to have actual waters coming into the mouth. Amokim haroi love by mamayim, that, but you know, it has to be that the mouth is totally cleaned out without having any chatzitzas. That were the Torah to require mayim to come in, you wouldn't have a chatzitza issue. Since, however, you do have a chatzitza issue, even though the water actually, physically, legally doesn't have to come in, but has to be roi love by mayim, like the famous halacha of Bila. That's talking, of course, about Gavi Karban Mincha. If you bring a Mincha, it has to be maximum 60 Esroilim in one kli. If you have 61, no good, because it doesn't effectively mix inside such a huge volume of 61. But the Gemara asks elsewhere, but Bila is not Makevis, you don't have to go mix it anyway. If you just put the Shemen on top of the flour, you never mixed it, it's still kosher. That's true. But it's roi lebila be'inan. It's got to be 60 or less, where when you mix together the oil, it mixes well, even if you didn't mix it. However, 61 and more, it's not going to mix. And therefore, even though mixing is not required, but it's got to be roi lebila. Here too, even though you don't require the mikvah waters to enter the person's mouth, but it has to be roi letvila, in the sense that there are no chatzitzas inside the mouth. Yavad, 100%. That's what you the all the women before they go and the toivel, they floss it and they bebeshtel and they check it and they make sure, you know, 100%.
Have a temporary filling.
Nachmul?
Temporary filling.
These are all very good challenges. You have to ask competent local Orthodox rabbis. And if you don't have a competent local.
How would you take it out? I mean, can you take it out? Like dentures would be a better example. Or a bridge or something. Something that is a fix. Is a fix.
Yeah. What happens if you have dry skin on your foot, right? Almost everybody, if you look at the bottom of your foot, the bottom of your heel, right, especially during the summer, you have dry skin. Is that considered a chatzitz or not? Well, it's part of the skin, but it's very dry. You can remove it.
The machbin, the person machbin on it?
All of these things you have to ask competent rabbanim, and we continue on. Zokti Moriyetz. We're going back to the original Shaila of the Sabe Dinizunya, which we established was a machloikis between the Tanakama and Rebbe in the Braisa, whether or not an Eved Yoitz Behem Lecheiris with Sirus. Says the Gemara, Kitanoi, we have find this machloikis is elsewhere as well. Another machloikis tonight. Now we're talking about Kodshim that you're bringing for a carbon. That if by the Kodshim, the pasuk continues on. If you have the Torah or Hashalim, lo yisakrivu laHashem uva'artzachem lo yisasu. So if you have an animal that has either crushed or severed genitals down below, testicles, etc., lo yisakrivu laHashem, it's possible. It's a mum. Artzachem lo yisasu. So that's the Tanakam. So to Gemara, kulam, back to Gemara, kulam abeim. All of these are referring to the abeim down below, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. However, what did he mean to say? Bebeim. Pray tomorrow, bebeim. For lo yibegid. Are you telling me that these only cause a balmum if it's in the beim, but not in the gid itself? Because the gid, certainly, because that's much more begolui than the beim. Ela kulan af bebeim. Dibra Buda. He didn't mean to say kulan bebeim. He meant to say af bebeim. So therefore, clearly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything having to do with the Beyim down below, that is a mum. And just like it's a mum legabe kamonis, it's a mum legabe an eved, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, eved yoitz behan lechemes. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, I'm going to begin. But begin, but loy bebeyim. Only begin, and not in the Beyim. Oh, so obviously the same machlokes that we had before the Tanakama and the Rebbe, whether Sirus Bebeyim frees a person, yes or no, and Evid from his other, same machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. So Rav Chizda, had he been aware of this brisa, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, he could have told him it's a double machlokes, not only the brisa and the Yom Aleph, but also this brisa and the Yom Beis. You could have responded to the Sabi Dinizunya that it's machlokes. Rabbi Yosi, I'm Rabbi Yosi, is like the Yovi Akos Vashlishi Vyachriya Beinayim. And he says, Ma'uch v'chosus, af bebeim. Nosik v'chorus, begid in, bebeim loy. And Ma'uch v'chosus both mean some sort of crushing or smashing. So that's af bebeim.
You say not to turn from where? Oh.
We're going to get to that more.
Yeah, okay,
right. Okay, no problem. Ma'uch v'chosus is more of a smashing or a crushing. Af bebeim. That applies to bebeim as well. That would be a din of mum shebegok. Nosuk v'chorus, which means a cut. Cutting is by the gid, a severing by the gid in bebeim loy. Now what type of severing would you have by the bebeim? Here's where Rashi says on the fourth line, krus means krusim hachutim shabeim tluyim behem bekisan. The testicles down below in the sack, they're not just swimming around haphazardly, they stay in one place. Why? Because they are hanging literally by a thread. They're krusim hachutim shabeim tluyim behem bekisan, on these threads that are holding the beim in place. Chorus means that they were cut. Ma'urim b'mitzas, name the sukkah legami. But they're still there in the sack, and they're still mixed there together. It's not
floating.
Free-floating. Okay, good. Beim the sukkah legami, they're not totally cut. That's called, yeah, severance. Yeah, that's chorus.
You need severance there.
Yeah, but there's no severance.
That's not knock over nether, though. That comes afterward. Okay, the question,
now, now we're discussing is, do you get severance?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The severance leads to severance.
Right, come on.
Okay.
We're at the cutting edge of humor here.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so that was chorus. And now we get to nosuk. Nosuk says, Rashi, nosuk biyad legamri. It was totally, it wasn't yet
removed.
Cut, but it was, I don't know, removed that it's no longer inside the sack. That's already much worse in terms of the severed nature of the chutzim. There, apparently they're still in their normal habitat, so to speak, where they normally lie within the sack. Well, it's nosuk and it's totally mishmash and it goes up and down, you know, like an elevator all the time. It is, we wouldn't say before it was swimming around, whatever. Anyway,
free floating.
Oh, that's a better term.
Wireless. So therefore,
okay. So anyway, so Rabbi Yosi says we took mechoris chosus that applies in tevein. As mechoris begin in the beim loy, because bottom line it's still in the beim, it's still inside the sack. It hasn't been removed from the sack, so that's not the same degree of balmum. And then only when the Torah says moch mechoris nos mechoris is only referring to the outer gid, because that's obviously begolui. But with the beim, you don't see. Apparently moch mechoris you can see that they're no longer Bayim because they've been crushed and smashed, smished, and therefore there's no Bayim left, so that's probably...
And that's Madama then to the evidence that has been
said. That's why the Mar said Ketanoi.
Yeah, okay, so according to...
You see, if you look at the top Rashi, Ketanoi, Sirus the Bayim, I have a mum gomi. So this price, of course, is referring to Kodshim. The Mar is now saying, it's Madama, the same thing with Gabi, the Evid. So Rabbi Yosi would say
that if it's crushed, then
he goes out the chayrus. Not the chayrus, only as the begin, but not the beim, because the beim that would be considered tomun, not a mum shabakon. Oh, it's good. There's only shvisim for the Allah Zachen. On to the next mission. We've now concluded. We started off with the isha nikness, then we talked about the avodah, first the eved ivri and the eved kanani, and now we go on to behema gasa, a large animal. What's the din behem agasa? Niknis b'mesira, v'hadaka v'hagba'a divrei meir. What is divrei meir v'rei blessed? Now, what is the din of mesira? So Rashi reminds us that we learned a couple of days ago in the Gemara that mesira means not that you schlep the animal, but that you grab onto the afsar. Those are the reins, Oy besara, or onto its hair. And the Gemara gave another couple of examples, also on the masui, on its back. You want to turn back to Chavez Amidbeis for a short moment. You remember the Gemara brought a whole list. Vatanya. Tanya is about, I don't know, about 15 lines from the bottom at the beginning of the line. There's a small yud in my Gemara, Vatanya. Ketzim Mimsir, everybody have that? My good friend, Brother Shai. About 15 lines from the bottom. Go up. Vatanya Ketzim Mimsir. Have the Ketzim Mimsir? Achsim Betalfa. The first word in the learn is light. Let's go and count.
Okay.
Right, then Vatanya,
yeah?
Vatanya Ketzim Mimsir. How do you go and be koina an animal with Mesira, Achsa Betalfa, you hop on the top, so lafayim on the claws on the bottom, the hoofs, the sara on the ear, the ukif is on the saddle, she'oleha, b'shlifsha oleha, or the reins, no, the shlif Rashi says is, I think, a masui. That's, you have, let's say, a backpack on the animal. But prumbif shebithia, if it has some sort of muzzle in the mouth, or bezug shebitzvar, it has something around it, like a necklace around the neck. Any one of these things, you hold on to it, you achsa your koine. Achsa, anyone, that's the Mesira. Rashi over here adds in the Chavart, here in Anchav Heyamet Beis, that it's talking about Ba'aleh Moisrim Oysa Lelekeach. In other words, it's not that the Lekeach just takes it on his own, but the Ba'alim have to hand over and say, here, take the reins. Go and grab the Lekafayim, or the Sara. Here, I'm handing it over to you. So, the Rashi's Lashon is a little bit more meduyuk in the word Mesira, because Mesira usually means to transmit. Anyway, if you're wondering whether that has any effect or not, is a Toisus that discusses this. That's the first full Toisus at the beginning of the wide line. You got to hand it over. Skip to the Koshalari on the third line. Nobody handed it over, you just took it on your own. Anyway, since a machloik is whether or not you have to hand it over or whether you just take it on your own. That's the definition of Mesira. You really have to hand it to Toysis that he was very medayik in the Lashon of Gemara, the Lashon of Rashi. He says it's talking not the same.
They could have done it digital.
Oh, then it would have been virtual. It wouldn't have been actually touched. Well, okay, so let's continue on. So Bei Megasa Niklas Ben Mesira, Bahadaka, if you're talking about a Bei Medaka, like a Shepsala, you do it Bahagbar. You pick it up. Divereme. And her blessing. Chamayman Bei Medaka Niklas Ben Meshicha. Bei Medaka, you schlep the animal. You don't schlep the Bei Megasa, presumably because that's a big animal, so you don't schlep it. Maybe it'll be offended if you schlep it and you'll start giving you a kick or something. Bei Medaka, little sheps, a little goat, you nix the Mashiach. So you have Machloikis Lagabi Bei Medaka, but everybody agrees Bei Megasa is Bimesira. Dorish Rav, back to the Gemara. Rav now dies at the Kimchumya, a name of a place, Kimchumya. Bei Megasa nixnis Bimesicha. Wow! Our Mishnah said Behema Taka is B'Meshicha, but Behema Gasa, everybody agrees B'Mesira. Rav is arguing with the Mishnah. Akhinu Shmuel Tamir of Rav. Shmuel subsequently saw the Tamir of Rav. Omalahu. He said, I heard this rumor. Mi Omer Rav Behema Gasa Niklas B'Meshicha. Is that what he said? That Behema Gasa B'Meshicha. Vo'anan in our Mishnah B'Mesira Tanan. It says Mesira, doesn't say Meshicha. Not only that, V'Ram Nami B'Mesira Omar. Rav, when he taught the Mishnah, and he gave a shir, I even have a recording from last Machzor. Rav said, B'Mesira and say B'Meshicha. So what's Rav now telling and teaching that it's B'Meshicha? He asked him now, rhetorically, did he change his mind? Not that he changed his mind, Hu di Omer ki haitan. It's true. Rav, when he learned the Mishnah, he said, the Mishnah says, Mesira. No question about it. However, Rav says, but I have another Tana from a Braisa. The Sani, the Chum respectfully disagree with our Tana Kama of the Mishnah, and they say Zuvazu. Zuvazu means both Behema Gasa and Behema Daka. Both of them are B'Meshicha. Theoretically, this Chachamim might be the Chachamim of our Mishnah, excuse me, because the Chumash Mishnah also holds Behema Daka Nisim Mashiach, but since they don't argue on the Behema Gasa part, it would sound like these Chacham agree partially to the Chum of the Braisa. They agree it's Daka Mashiach by the Behema Daka, but Zayt Zachos they would hold by Behema Gasa like the Tanakama in our Mishnah B'Mesir. But clearly in the Braisa they hold Zu B'Zu and Miklas B'Mashiach. Reb Shimon Oimer, Zu B'Zu Bagba. Both a Behema Daka is Bagba, pick it up, and a Behema Gasa is Bagba. And the obvious question is going to be, Mamayla to go and pick up a cow. If a person could pick up a cow, everybody would say, holy cow, he was able to pick up the cow. But what happens if you want to be koina an elephant?
Ooh.
If you have to do that bahagba, that would be very difficult. And the Gemara Taka asks that Kasha Maskev L'Rav Yosef Elamei Ata Pil L'Rav Shimon Bameh Yikna. According to Rav Shimon that says you'd have to do hagba, how would you be koina an elephant? Nobody alive apparently can go and pick up an elephant. Maybe elephant. Certainly not an old elephant. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says in such a case, Taki, you don't go and use Hagba, you go and do Chalipin. You go and do Chalipin by picking up a pen or a handkerchief or a gartel, like you always see, like when you sell your chumetz, or you see by the Kabbalah's pun and by a chuppah, they do a Chalipin. Can you see that? That's how you have to do it. There's no way of picking up the pill, so you pick up the other thing. Inam, you have another Eitzah. Besoicher es Mekoyma. You'd use a Kinyan Chotzer. In other words, you can always be Koyna Metaltlin in a chotzer, either out kinyan agav, out kinyan chotzer. So therefore, he says, go and rent to that person for 1 minute, or lend him the rights to that chotzer. That's where the elephant is standing and saying, okay, the chotzer belongs to you. Be koyin it, and then that's how we be koyin. Reb Zeira Omar, I have another etzer. Maybe arba a kelim who may nichen tachas raglav. Bring four separate pots or something like that. Of course, invert them and have the animal walk on top of them. Now, on the surface, it would appear that he's telling us that you can go and do hagba through the four kelim by having him raise his feet, and not by physically doing it with your hands, but by having the animal go on top of the four kelim. However, that's not how the Gemara learns, and that's not how Rashi Tosis learned. Rather, it's being koina through mini Kinyan Chotzer. What do I mean by mini? Throughout Shas, we have this Shaila with a Kalev Shalikeach are Koinen Birshus Moicher. You happen to be inside the store of the Moicher or in his private house, and you want to go and be Koine something. Let's assume that the item, for instance, is a food item, and you put the food into your kli. As you know now, in Manhattan, you have to go and bring your own bags to the store, or you have to go and pay some phenomenal additional fee. It's all to make money, because if they really were concerned about the environment, they would say, even for money, you can't go and give it back. Okay, that's a different story. Anyway, the point is, the person brings his own bag, and he puts the food items into the bag. But he's standing Rishus Moicher. So the total, the larger exterior Rishus, that's the Moicher's Rishus. The Kalim are yours. Can you be koina like a mini chatzar in the larger chatzar of somebody else? So that's the machloikis. So if the Gemara says, L'choyder Reb Zera, that says, bring your four kelim, have the pill stand on top of it, and you'll be able to go and be koina that way, Shabbos mino, kelim shalakech, which is moicher, kana lekech. Now, the reason why I focused on all of this is, of course the Gemara focused on it, but the point is, if we were talking out inyan of Hagbah, it wouldn't matter whether it's my kelim, your kelim, and somebody else's kelim, because we're not trying to be koina with a keli out of mini chotzer. The reason why we're trying to be koina is with hagba, and I successfully got the pill off its 4 feet, and it's now raised up in the air on these four kelim. The fact that the Gemara says Shabbos mino kev shukev b'shus moicha kana kev is the chasimin that we're not talking about the kinyan of hagba. We're talking about the kinyan of the mini rishus, one rishus and the other, the kelim shalakeh. Tosis on Kof Vavam and Aleph speculates that the reason why Rashi perhaps learned that way is because Rashi holds the shitasai that for hagba you have to pick something up 3 tvachim. Says Tosis, when's the last time that you had a kli which was 3 tvachim tall or deep? What means 3 tvachim? 3 tvachim essentially is a foot. That's a quite a tall kli, a foot, for, and maybe also difficult for the pill to rise to the occasion. thrice three. Anyway, if you see,
it'll crush it also if it's a kli. If it's a kli cheres, it'll certainly crush it. A kli and a kli machtes.
It has to be a very, very strong machtes.
Right. Even okay. That, it would not resist the weight of the pill.
Right. Okay, we'll see the choices in a moment. So this is the... therefore, we're not talking about Hilchas Hagbah now. So we have other eitzes, so to speak. And that is, instead of doing Hagbah, according to Shimon, you can do either Chalipin, or Kinyan Chotzer by Tzorchus Makoymai, or Kinyan Chotzer by... being matna by having the kelim shalakeach brishus meicha. So frank tomorrow, Shabbos, you know, you're going to be poshut from this that kelim shalakeach brishus meicha kanalakeach. Achim my skills is mabesimta. After all, you don't normally find too many elephants inside a person's rishus, so it's in the simta. It's really outside in the street. It's not a full fledged rishus rabim. It's more like an alleyway. So an alleyway, it says Rashi, is neither rishus rabim nor rishus yachid. And however, because it is part of the public domain, Chazal say that everybody can go and do kinyanim there. If it's mamish in the middle of Rishus Rabbah and want to start doing kinyanim, the car is going to start beeping. Mister, get out of the way. I got to... And so will the wagon driver and people that are walking in Rishus Rabbah. I don't have time for you to go and stand in the middle of Rishus Rabbah to do kinyanim. But you go simto, that's already in the alley. You don't have that major thoroughfare and therefore major traffic, and therefore you can go and do kinyanim. Oh, so then you can go and put the four kalim down on the floor, have the pills step on top of them, and then the kalim shalakeach would be toy the mishus moicher. And they don't even have to be inverted. You can have the four pots or whatever, the four plastic containers, normal, and have the pill insert its feet inside the kalim. And it wouldn't be kalim shalakeach mishus moicher, it would be kalim shalakeach in the simta. Fine. Inami, but there's another way of being koine it. And that would be Bechavile's Moires. And this, of course, is a matter of great interest. What does it mean, Bechavile's Moires? It says Rashi, what you can do is have a heap of these Chavile's Moires, and perhaps you're going to have it in the form of like a ramp, where not a Mamisha ramp, but the Chavile's Moires are in a heap where that's like any heap.
It builds up,
exactly. So you have the animal, you take the animal by the reins, and say, please, Mr. Animal, please walk up to the top of the Chavile's Moires. Says Rashi, at Gavoyim and Aretz Shloisha Tzvachim, at its height, it's three Tzvachim tall. That's Rashi, the Shitasai, that you have to have Hagbah three. Umalich and Alev, that Gavoy Shloisha Tzvachim, my boy, then how can we return his love with? The important thing is, if it's less than three Tzvachim, then it's still on the ground. If it's higher than three Tzvachim, you have Hagbah. So what the Gemara is telling us is you could have Hagbah, not only the Kinyan Chalipin and the Kinyan Mitkalim and the Kinyan Chatz, you can have Hagbah even by a pill, by a Behemah Gas. But now let's look quickly at the top choices. Who disagrees? Rishva countries, Bishkatu Lag Boaz Pil, Bechavil is Moiris Hagboim and Orish Loisha, Umalei on Leyen, Lag Boaz Loisha Agboahi, the Novel of Doris Lovit, Ula Pirusha, he says, Moses, the Kalim Loi Matzi Le Meimar. Why did we have to talk about the Chavil is Moiris? If you're talking about having the animal ascend, why don't you say that we're talking about the Kalim and he'll ascend on the Kalim like we had before? And then you won't have to talk about Kalim Shalakeach, which is Moichet. Because we're not being Koine als Kalim or als Chotzer.
By the elevation of the elevation.
Exactly. Well, the Perusha became the Matzilim name of the Likni Bedin Hagboas. Hagboa, she niach Kalim Tachas Raglav, the Stamayu, ain't be Oven Shloisha Tvachim. Normally you can't find a Kli that is so
12
thick
inches
or so tall that it would be three tvach, which would be 12 inches. Very rare. And if he found it, how do you know that the animal would easily, you know, ascend on top of the four kalim? So therefore, that's why we had to change from kalim to the case of chavilas. Moiris. Lapidus remain the top. The mafarish dagboi the tefach pani. So the chayra, why did we want to have to change channels and talk about chavilas moiris? Why didn't we say that it's talking about kalim? Don't be shmami not kalim shalakeach, which is moicher kanalakeach. No. The reason why it's kaina is because of the elevated nature of the animal, and the animal went on top of the four kalim. Instead of walking on top of chavilas moiris, he walked on top of the four kalim. If it's a chleima, we have to say, it says toises, that couldn't remain a tam. Stam kalim b'ayvin tafak. That your normal regular kli is also not 4 inches tall, and that being the case, this aids of ascending on kalim just doesn't work by kalim, because most kalim are flatter, are not so tall and not so deep. The kasha, am I not a chavilas moiris? What's that as chavilas moiris? Linkar avonim, oy eitzim. In other words, you have a whole group of stones which are piled up on a heap.
They don't have a Torah's kalim, they just have a Torah of Hagbah.
No, 100%. What Toises is asking is, why does the Gemara switch from Kelim to Chavilas Meiris? Switch from Kelim to Avonim and to Eitzim. What's up, Chavilas Meiris? Mufarish Rabbi Shimon, beautiful child. The Lahaki knock at Chavilas Meiris. The fish in Machu Til. Oh, elephants eat Zmeiris. How do I know? Can you write a famine in the Sakh Shabbos? The Talkalit Chavilas Meiris for Shabbos. It's not Muktzi, you'll have to be metalfalit. They should machel pilim because you can go and give it to an elephant. Presumably it's talking about a place where there are elephants. So no elephants would be muktzi because I don't expect
it.
Exactly. Well, magbiyin lepil chavilas moiris lamala. What are we talking about? Not that you have chavilas moiris on the ground. You have chavilas moiris elevated on a table or something. Vuhu koifit. And he jumps up. Well, magbiyas atzmin ha'aretz v'ayichlon. Nobody picked it up. It was the animal that picked itself up and jumped up. That's all Zagbadchi. I got national to go and pick it up.
So grumma of something affects a Kenyan effectively. So this is more of a grumma situation by baiting the food and getting the animal to jump. You're inspiring it to jump and you're acquiring it. So wow. It's grumma. It's a grumma type thing.
And that's why Tois at the bottom says. If you're going to ask, is that considered to be Hagba? If it's Hagba, he says, I've arrived from Sechta School in a similar situation that if you put something high and then you jump up, that's considered to be Hagba. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Chavilas Moiris is very meduktic now. It's not that the animal is
stepping on them, it's jumping to eat them.
Since it's jumping to eat them.
That's how you can get kids to learn to jump.
Anyway, there is a Chubit Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, that you can see that the Bali Hatoisvis did not live in Africa or places where
elephants. No idea how elephants actually.
Because he said, based on what Saifa says, what he heard about elephants, is that in fact they do not jump up to eat from the Chavilas.
No,
because
they use their trunk actually to pull it down.
Okay.
Right, they pull it down, that's right.
They can rear up?
They can raise their front legs. They brace them against something.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, the question is that sufficient for Agba? Magmar is mashal that you have to have all four legs and not just the two.
A complete animal.
Okay, so that's your answer. That's what Chassam Sofer says, that the Bali Tosis didn't. He says, with all due respect, we're not Chassam being Mavazidim, but in terms of they're not familiar with the jumping, the tendencies, or the absence thereof of elephants. Anyway, Rabbi Yisrael, have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha.
It has an appeal
tomorrow.
To many.
Appeal. Oh, very good. Okay. When you say your jokes, it's not a bitter pill, it's a sweet pill.
Would you be returning Motzei Shabbos and teaching here on Sunday, or would you be again?